Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Our scripture comes from Genesis. We're going to enter into the story of Jacob. It is on the 32nd chapter, verses beginning with verse 24. Listen now for God's word to you. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask me my name?" And there he was blessed. So Jacob called it Peniel, saying, "I have seen God's face to face, yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him, and he passed through Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the thigh muscle on the hip socket, because he struck Jacob on the hip socket of the thigh muscle. This is the word of the Lord. Illness of mind, body, spirit can indeed zap us of our life's passions and energy. Sometimes illness can change the course of our lives forever, asking us to adapt in ways we never imagined. And while illness is not visited upon anyone by God's design, sometimes limitations open our eyes to other possibilities. We're looking at two healing stories today. Both stories end with a type of healing. The woman suffering from the bleeding has straightforward healing. You notice she took a risk because she had heard Jesus could heal. She leaves her community of exile, and in just a touch, she is restored. Jesus acknowledges her faith has made her well. Jacob's story ends with a blessing that makes him well. Well, if you can discount the limp that occurs when he's struggling with the stranger who most of us identify as God. In both stories, there's a sense that they have been cured of their illness through some miraculous action. And I'll be honest and tell you, I struggle with the idea of Jesus curing anyone. What I do believe is God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, the Trinity can heal you. So you might ask, what do you mean by that? So I believe the concept of being cured involves methods and medicines that restore health, and they essentially eliminate a disease or a sickness. It implies a permanent resolution to a health issue and distinguishes it from treatments that merely manage symptoms. I see healing a bit differently. To heal is to restore a person to soundness, to wholeness, and often through natural processes or medical treatment. It can also mean the reconciliation or mend or to bring into a conflict or an emotional divide. Theologian John Dominic Crossan asked of the healing stories in his book, Jesus, a Revolutionary Bibliography, was the cure of the disease through an intervention in the physical world, or was the healing of the illness through the intervention of the social world? Crossan goes on to say, I presume that Jesus, who did not and could not cure that any disease on anyone, healed a poor man's illness by refusing to accept the illness's ritual uncleanliness and social ostracization. I tend to stand with Crossan on this idea that God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, doesn't actually cure most people, but the Trinity heals all of us, restores us into relationships, in community, and in deeper faith with God, oftentimes when we're at our lowest. You see, if we agree that God does not intentionally inflict harm upon us, then we also must be willing to see the other side of the coin, the fact that God does not routinely cure. God does give doctors and nurses and therapists and social workers and chaplain and a host of others this gift and skills help in curing an illness. When we ask for God to heal a person, let us remember what we're asking for, and that healing, and that it's healing sometimes means a cure, and it sometimes doesn't. If a person is not cured, it doesn't mean that God is not at work, because oftentimes the healing that does happen is a restoration of a person to community, like the woman who bled for 12 years, or the restoration of Jacob to his community and to the promised land. The truth of the matter is that when we pray to God, restoration, healing always occur and always happen. And sometimes a cure, and sometimes not. Yet God is always present. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.